The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 894. It's the 11th of October 2017. On the podcast today, I have João Andrade, CEO of Wide Sales Group, that's WDC, and Joe discusses the agreement they've signed to sell and promote their stem cell services in the Middle East, North Africa, and Asia Pacific. Also on the podcast, John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel, talks about rare earths and the companies, specifically Makanga Resources and Rainbow Rare Earths. Also on the podcast, Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications, talks about the following companies: Smart Metering Systems, SMS, Cadence, that's KDNC, and South 32, that's S32. Plus, as always, I have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs on the platform too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is João Andrade, CEO of Wide Sales Group. That's WDC ticker. João, thanks for joining me.
Hi, Justin. Good morning.
You've had some significant news out, and we'll get to that in a bit. But for people listening right now who are not aware of what you do, João, give us a brief summary as to what you're all about, please.
Well, Wide Sales Group, we are a stem cell services provider. We have three areas in our business. One is education and training for healthcare professionals on stem cell technology. Another one is what we call Cell Plan, where we've developed the world's first stem cell insurance plan to cover the costs associated with stem cell treatments, which can be quite expensive. And then we have our research arm that we call Wide Cells, where we also provide stem cell storage services to families who want to store their stem cells to protect their family against future illness.
Excellent stuff. Well, you've announced a heads-of-terms agreement with a multi-sector advisory business called White Apex General Trading to sell and promote your group's stem cell services in the Middle East and North Africa and Asia Pacific. Congratulations on this. Quite a big milestone for you. Give us a bit more information, if you could, John, this agreement, and what it entails and what it means to the group.
Well, I always said that the key for our success scale up the business quickly, and that's only possible if we can find the right strategic partners in different areas around the globe. And because of the nature of our products is to be deploying them on a global scale, this type of agreement is ideal when we want to promote our products in specific regions of the world, or sometimes you need to localize them and so on. And so we found this strategic partner, which is primarily based from Dubai, Oman, Brunei, and Bangkok. And what we have discussed pretty much is this is a company, private-backed company, where their two co-owners have been involved, one of them in the stem cell industry, and he's a premier doctor that studied here in the UK as well and worked also for a U.S. Company called Genzyme that was acquired by Sanofi, and he was the lead scientist there. So he sort of was looking into getting into the biotech space, but he knows the challenges. And when he saw what we were doing at White Cells, it was just naturally we understood ourselves straight away. He was looking for what we already have, and he had the right infrastructure to deploy the products in the markets where he has presence. And the other co-owner of White Apex is a very successful entrepreneur who founded Ray International Group, which is a very large company based from Oman, but with offices throughout the Middle East and some countries in Asia as well. Very big company, primarily focused on maintenance, oil and mining, also healthcare and education. And they started to diversify their investments, and that's why they're really interested in what we're doing. And at the end of the day, what this allows us is to penetrate these markets with all our product offerings from the three divisions, sound plan, insurance plan, our education and training programs, and also providing stem cell storage services across the region and sending the samples over to our lab in Manchester.
Excellent stuff. Okay, and crucially, revenues are imminent, you say, from this. So when can we expect first revenues to commence, and what is the revenue structure looking like going forward?
Yeah, so we signed ahead of terms. We are looking to get the formal agreement signed until the 31st of October. Upon signature or following the signature, we are going to receive the first £240,000 for White Academy. And this is where White Apex, they're sponsoring 2,000 doctors at £120 each. And what they're sponsoring is access to our web app platform and to our courseware, so that we can educate medical professionals within the region, primarily in the UAE first, mm-hmm. Educate the doctors in the region so that they are aware about the importance of families storing their stem cells, and then where they can be used and for what. And this is a way to educate the market. So they are sponsoring doctors in the region to educate them on the importance of the services that we provide.
Yeah, you mentioned a bit about White Apex there, but I see that some of them, or some of the team, will be heading up a regional office for you. So what makes them the right sort of partner and team for you then, Jao?
Well, again, because Dr. Ahmed has been involved in stem cell research previously, and he understands that the cost of stem cell treatment are very high, when he saw that we had developed the world's first stem cell insurance plan. And he also knows that it's important to educate medical professionals who are mainly not aware about the developments in the stem cell industry. When he saw that we could combine these two things and at the same time also be involved in research as we are, and also provide families in the regions where he's present the possibility of storing their stem cells to protect their families in the future, it was a perfect fit. And then they had the right infrastructure with offices across the Middle East and Asia. They are investing in healthcare. And then again, his partner is a very successful entrepreneur, and putting themselves together, and now they brought together, to the partnership, Ahmad Jamin as well, who worked in the insurance industry in Asia for many years. They have a very strong team that can support us to deploy our products in the region and be very successful over there.
Excellent stuff. And I suppose this agreement there sort of fast tracks, you know, your expansion both in terms of geography and sales and revenues. So can we expect sort of a similar strategy to be applied across other regions, Jao?
Well, we did something slightly different in Brazil previously, this is a development from the first model. The model in Brazil, I expect, will evolve from now on and even perhaps to the Latin American market. Because we have now our different divisions focused on different regions in the globe, for example, Soundplan is focused in the UK, focused on Europe first. And now this agreement allows us to start thinking about the Middle East and Asia. We have White Cells, which is a stem cell storage services starting in the UK at any point between now and the end of the year, as soon as we receive the license. And immediately afterwards, we can start the operation in the UAE with White Apex. Also White Academy is now heavily focused on the UK, where we're going to launch the first web app platform in English, where we'll be disseminating content on stem cell technology. But there is this intention to localize the platform to the Middle East, and even there's another £250,000 to do that coming from White Apex before the end of the year, we expect. So what we can see is that we have products that can be launching any country in the world, and now we are putting the right infrastructure to allow that to happen, to scale quickly and to dominate the market.
Excellent stuff. Okay, Jal, if anyone's listening to this who likes the sound of what you're doing and your expansion here, but are not yet following you on Vox Markets, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page, please.
Well, the reasons are we are a completely innovative company within the healthcare space because we are providing services to the industry. Our product offering is transversal to the whole healthcare industry. It supports from medical centers to medical teams to patients. We educate them on stem cell technology, and we provide them the services that allow patients and medical teams to be connected in an affordable way. And our mission is to make stem cell treatments accessible and affordable. And we have an all-star team to execute the business plan. And if we are seeing these type of agreements coming to fruition, that's really a very strong reason why people should be following us.
Excellent, Joe. Good to speak to you. And hopefully we'll chat again in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. Right, John?
Good morning.
Now, you were talking about rare earths. First of all, what are rare earths, John?
Well, rare earths are a collection of metals that were considered to be rare. In fact, as far as the Earth's crust is concerned, they aren't that rare. But what is difficult is the extraction and processing of these metals, and actually finding deposits where there is sufficient grade and sufficient quantities of the right rare earth metals to make them economic. And so that's what's really rare. And there was a boom in these sorts of companies some years ago, mainly in Canada, where suddenly about 400 rare earth companies sprang up, of which only a handful remain. Most of those then went on to produce medical marijuana and things like that. Mm-hmm. But that is the way of the Canadian market. And what is left is the best of breed. There are a handful of these companies left in the UK, Australian and Canadian markets. And over here in the UK, there are two notable companies. There is Rainbow Rare Earths, which is going into production in Burundi. Mm-hmm. Bit of a risky place at the best of times. And there's Makango in Malawi, which is a much more conventional and safer jurisdiction in Africa. It's a low cost environment, and it's the sort of place you'd quite like a mining asset to be in.
Yeah. So rare earths, tell us, you know, what they predominantly used in, where's the demand coming from?
Well, there's a very good report done by the United Nations on critical metals, and this tells us that there's quite a lot of rare earths being used in electric vehicles, mm-hmm. And particularly in wind farms, solar farms. There's a bit used in nuclear power generation, but this was really focused on power generation going forwards, with an eye to, well, how are we going to produce the power for electric vehicles, mm-hmm. as they come through. And we see all sorts of new rules and regulations coming in to drive production and purchases of electric vehicles going forwards. But the power is going to have to be generated, and the rare earths are going to have to be available for this. And we've seen rare earth prices double in recent months. Mm-hmm. I think they are going to double again. And I'm talking about a basket of rare earths, because I forget how many there are exactly, but there's about 20 metals that are considered to be rare earths. The most notable is neodymium for the rare earth, for the permanent magnets, dysprosium, praseodymium. There's a whole bunch of these things. It's the heavy rare earth metals that we look out for. They seem to be the ones that are most used. There are some rare earths that have relatively little value, just because there's more of those available. And the critical thing is the production of these rare earths. So, for example, Makango has an alliance going with Metallisys, which is a company that is producing metals powders for 3D printing and those sorts of technologies. And there's an Australian company called Peak Resources, which is looking to to be part of a consortium to build a rare earth refinery up on Teesside. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the sort of thing the UK government will be very keen to sponsor and enable. So the problem with Peak, though, is that their project is in Tanzania. And whilst that's a really good project, the president of Tanzania has banned the export of metal concentrates. So that makes that sort of thing really rather difficult right now, and investors are not going to Tanzania in a hurry at the moment. So that leaves Makango in a very good position.
Yeah, and so when you look at what you talk about, I mean, there's no sort of secret now. I mean, every government and every car company pretty much are saying they're going fully electric, you know, by certain dates. And so, I mean, I see the obvious sort of benefactors of this being copper, for one. I mean, it's yes, using traditional, but copper, three times as much as using an EV. And then you get lithium and nickel as well, and a lot of cobalt. And so aside from these, you think these will also benefit as well, these rare earths. Is that right?
Yes, and you know, there's another accelerating factor in that Toshiba have just announced a battery that will give you about 300 miles of range on a 6-minute charge. So that's if that proves to be true, that's a real game changer. Now, we were writing in our morning note this morning about the charging stations for these, and how much copper those charging stations will need, or how much the renewable energy will require for production of renewable energy will require copper. And how far that will all go, and that relates to millions of tons. To if you convert filling petrol stations into EV charging stations, because 6 minutes is an interesting number. You know, you don't want to be you could take your vehicle into a filling station, and 6 minutes is about right. You don't want to be hanging around for much longer than that, ideally.
Yeah.
It shows the technology is moving really fast, and you know what, the cost of running an electric vehicle should be so much less than filling up with gasoline. Of course, until the government then starts to tax it, but that's another matter. But they will be encouraging it, I think, because everybody wants to clean up the environment and get away from petrol and diesel.
Yeah. I just typed in that article now, thinking, so the holy grail of electric vehicles is a battery that combines long range with short charging times. And Toshiba recently announced advance in its SCIB. It's a lithium-ion battery variation.
It's a lithium-titanium battery, okay. Or a lithium-titanium anode. So that's quite interesting from a titanium perspective, because, as we know, Blue Jay is going into titanium production in maybe about 18 months' time. Clearly copper is going to be beneficiary here, but a whole range of metals is going to be important and critical. And at the moment, quite a number of these metals are only produced and refined in China, which simply isn't acceptable from a US and a European perspective. And the EU has set a rule that it wants to increase European GDP from manufacturing to 20%. And I think that's by the year 2020 or 2025. And it's quite an aggressive target, which I suspect they won't meet. But they are very determined to increase metallurgical industries. They've created R&D funding accounts for helping to develop rare earth mines or more rare earth processing, I think, within Europe. And you know, they're going to have to supply this from somewhere, which is where companies like Makango and Rainbow Rare Earths come in.
Marvellous stuff. So there we are, two companies to me put on your watch list. So that's Makango Resources, MKA ticker there, and Rainbow Rare Earths, it's RBW. And I've had Martin, the CEO of Rainbow Rare Earths, on the podcast quite a few times.
Yes, I think it's worth mentioning that Makango is the sort of stock that's been so lowly rated for a while, particularly because of the collapse of rare earth prices a while ago because of a huge Ponzi scheme type scandal in China, that actually Makango really is one of those stocks that can fly going forwards.
Marvellous, John, good to get you on, and hopefully we'll speak next week.
That's great. Look forward to it.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications. You're Al?
A very good morning from a cloudy south coast, Joss. I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, same here. Cloudy. I don't mind cloud, though. It's rain I hate, you know.
Yeah. It's dry. It's dull but dry, so that's good. So,
it's a bit like me, that. It's dull but dry.
Yes, I was going to say, does that apply to me? My wife might say so, but, you know, what can I say?
Lovely. So what are you looking at? What stocks are you looking at?
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm going to go. We've spoken about this stock on several occasions this year, but it is... This just keeps on giving, and had listeners picked up this stock when we first started talking about it, it would have A, doubled in value, and B, paid out a nice little dividend yield along the way. The company in question is Smart Metering Systems, SMS. Again, it's one of these companies that's probably below the radar for a lot of people because it's unexciting, it's boring, it's it doesn't do anything interesting. I mean, it just provides metering systems. Smart metering systems for gas, electric energy management, data collection. As you talk about it, it's your eyes glaze over. But actually, this company, exactly, company is a massive cash generator. Mm-hmm. It's just incredible. When we first started talking about it, the shares were about around the £3 to £4 mark, and the company was just starting to pay a dividend, and it was moving forward. Brokers were really keen on it and had reasonable price targets, but every set of results throughout this year has you've seen growth in revenues, growth in EBITDA, growth in pre-tax, growth in dividend, and the interim results that were announced in September are no different. The interims to June for Smart Metering Systems, revenues up 14%, 37 million, EBITDA up 17%, pre-tax up 2%. The dividend was raised by 27% as the company initiated its domestic smart meter rollout throughout the country. And in fact, funnily enough, I've got a domestic smart metering product about to be installed in my property by my energy supplier. This is in the next few weeks, so they're actually coming to do it. So I can report back and tell you how effective they are. But nonetheless, look at the performance of this company. The shares have been as low this year as £4.56. Currently trading at 731 pence. When we spoke about these earlier on the year, they were trading at around 630 pence. So it's just been steady growth throughout the year. Bit of a fall off throughout the summer, but. Brokers are still as keen as ever on the stock. Macquarie have got an outperform rating and they've upped their price target to £10.68. Peel Hunt buy rating, £7.40 price target. This company is just a cash cow. It's a big cash generator. It's increased the dividend by 27%, which is indicative of just how confident management are in the future of the company. And the CEO, Alan Foy, said, we're just delighted with progress. We expect more of the same. So given their track record today, I would not bet against this company growing further next time around.
Yeah, well, do you know what? I remember I read about, I think, this company. It must have been about 5 years ago, maybe, or three or four years ago in Investors Chronicle. And yeah. I thought, yeah, that's the way forward. And I thought that's going to be a macro trend that in this country. People, companies being accountable for the amount of energy they use. So, users can actually see how much they're using. And I think it's the way forward. I thought even then by jumping on, but I didn't bother investing. It's almost like when you see this kind of macro trend, and I tell you what, it's happening now in commodities. I was talking about on the weekend podcast about, copper and nickel and all the kind of commodities needed for the electric vehicle revolution, they're going to be big because every country in the world is now banning, diesel and petrol engines.
Yep.
And it's not just one country, it's pretty much everywhere, apart from some corrupt companies like North Korea. Everyone jumped on board. It's a mass movement, It's absolutely going to happen. So you realise there'll be extra demand on these commodities. So get exposure to these commodities. Look at the good producers, say copper or nickel or some others.
Lithium.
Lithium. And get some exposure. And this is a long-term macro trend that will serve you well,
Of course, smart metering are a company that that they supply they're into, I guess if you like you know, you've got oil services suppliers to the oil industry. This is a this is a technology supplier to the energy industry, suppliers. So it's got the systems, and of course, the way the company is going, all of the reporting systems for domestic and commercial smart metering systems are going through this company. So it basically owns the network, which is fantastic and pretty powerful. The company is currently worth $650 million, and that's up from sort of $500 million last time we spoke about it. So you could say now, oh goodness, it's gone too high, but you could have said that last time too, or the time before that. So it's this is a growth company. Get on board.
Yeah, cool. What else are you looking at? You're mentioning that in a bit, lithium.
Yes, indeed. Going into lithium, I want to talk about Cadence Minerals briefly. The epic code is KDNC. Mm-hmm. Cadence Minerals, you could look at as it's almost like an investment fund that invests across rare earths and into lithium projects. I attended a presentation last month by the CEO of Cadence Minerals, Kieran Mazaria, and Kieran just highlighted the growth in the electric vehicle industry, and it's widely believed that currently experts who've examined and are looking at the sector are still underestimating the speed of penetration into the market of electric vehicles, but also the rate at which the industry can meet lithium demand. Now, Cadence Minerals, we've spoken about the company before. They have they're invested into a series of projects that are at various stages of development across the world. There's of course the big project in Mexico, Sonora Lithium project that it's invested into Bacanora Minerals, and Cadence Minerals recently sold some of that project, generated a $2.7 million profit on the partial sale of some of its assets. But it then takes that money and it invests into the early stage projects, and it's got projects in Sinovec, which is in Czechoslovakia, that's through European Metals, and this is widely anticipated to be the hub or the supply hub for the European electric vehicle industry. And of course, we've got Volvo, who have said they're going electric vehicle only by 2019. The stated policy of the EU government and the UK government that all vehicles by 2030 are going to be electric or have to be electric. So it's looking at where these supply hubs are going to be. And with the anticipated boom in electric vehicles, supply is going to be a serious issue. And if listeners go and watch this presentation, which is on a slide both on the Cadence Minerals website and also on the Cadence Minerals page on the Brand UK website, you can see Kieran talk about this undersupply and how strategically they've invested around the world to make sure that that they're invested into all of the hubs that are likely to be supplying the lithium or will be key supply bases for lithium in the future. In fact, there is an event on Thursday night, the momentous event at the All Bar One. If you've not already booked up for it, you can actually go and talk to Kieran. He'll be there with a stand and he'll be talking through the electric vehicle industry, lithium supply, the mines they're invested in, and also the potential for the future. So this is really one to get on board. Again, we were saying just now with get involved in these companies that are going to be supplying the minerals and the commodities for the future. This is really one of them, and lithium is going to be a key element in all of our lives going forward. And if you're invested in a company that's got strategic foothold globally in all the supply projects, you can't go far wrong. And Cadence really is one of the best opportunities to do that right now.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And as you said, look at macro trends and you could sit on a good investment for years and years and it keeps paying off more than you think. Anything else, Al?
Yes, another company we spoke about again on the subject of commodities, and this is it's a mining company called South 32. The epicode is S32. We spoke about this back in a couple of months ago, and South 32 shares have risen since then. We spoke about the stock. The shares were trading at 182p. Today it's trading at 190, 194p. So what do they do? South 32 was spun out of BHP Billiton in 2015. It's Australian based. It operates from Australia and also in South Africa and South America. It's got a series of aluminium smelters, a series of mines, and it's invested very much in the Southern Hemisphere. The company currently valued at about $10 billion, just over $10 billion. So it's a big company. But again, the share price has delivered steady growth for shareholders. Not to mention a dividend en route. The full year results that were published back at the end of August showed that revenues had grown 20% to just under $7 billion. Profit was $1.9 billion compared to $1.4 billion last time. The dividend was raised by 900% to 10 cents. So, you know, that's quite something. And again, the brokers are big fans. Deutsche Bank have a price target of 170p. Citibank a target of 190. Macquarie a target of 190p. So you could say the share's trading where the broker targets are now. But the company's engaged in a share buyback. It's been buying back its shares, which is helping support and push the share price higher. This is just a solid company. So if you're looking at all these Southern Hemisphere resources or commodities, this is a great company to get involved in. And obviously with the management team that are all experts, and then you've got a good solid board in charge of the company taking it forward.
Yeah, do you know what? There can be a lot said for buying and holding and a lot of stocks, you know, because I was given some of these shares because I owned BHP Billiton, and they, as part of their spin-out, I just sold them straight away, and it wasn't a lot. It was about 160 quid's worth, I think it was, but it was like free. I thought, I don't want to hold this. It's part. At the time, I thought it was part of BHP they didn't want, so I don't want them. at the time, they were like, I suppose, about a quid, I think they were.
Under a quid, that's right. So if you help. Yeah, only 160 quid, but you could have topped up, the shares did fall off a bit after the spin-off. In fact, they dipped as low as 50p at one stage.
Yeah.
But so if you got it at that point, then you would be looking at a decent return. You know, you'd have quadrupled your stake anyway. So this is a company that it's a big company, so it's not going to deliver stellar growth. But if you want a commodity play in the Southern Hemisphere that pays a 4% dividend, this is one you really should be looking at.
Mm-hmm. All right, S32. Yeah, do you know what? It's odd. When I sold them originally, I thought, and they went down to like 50 pence. I thought, yep, made the right decision there. And all of a sudden, they climbed back up. Now they're at 193. So there we are. Marvellous. Cheers, Matt. I'll speak next week, fella.
Thanks, Joe. I'll speak next week. Bye for now.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Greatland Gold. That's GGP. At four, Coro Gold. That's CORA. At three, Rehoboth Resources, RBD. At number two, UK Oil and Gas, UKOG. And number one again, Jersey Oil and Gas, JOG. All right, top five most liked RNSs on the platform this morning are as follows. MySquare Limited, Trading Update, MYSQ. Greatland Gold, GGP, that's Ernest Giles East Exploration Results. At three, SDX Energy, gas discovery at KSR-14 development well in Morocco. At two, UK Oil and Gas late last night, operational update. Having said that, it hasn't done the share price much good, even though it's been liked. There's been a bit of an issue there. And at one, most liked RNS today was from Asia Met Resources. ARS is the ticker there, of course, ARS. And the title of that RNS is Exceptional. Zinc, Lead, Silver, Gold, Drill Results. Upgrade potential of BKZ discovery. And they're saying that could be now a standalone project. It looks so exceptional. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to ft.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.